My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Describe the ruckus, sir.
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this. Wow. The afternoon. Thank you for being part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it is on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, or twitch.tv/1080AM, the Fan, or youtube.tv/1080AM, the Fan. Party on, party animals on the YouTube chat. Thank you for listening and being a part of our day. We now hit the phone lines courtesy of our good friends at Bet Online. You could go check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 7 lines. BetOnline.ag bringing us Danny Cannell today. Danny, how's it going, man?
What is up, fellas? How we doing? I had heard of the legendary lore of Danny and Dusty before, but I am so fired up to be on with you guys. And I'm just assuming that Danny is the better-looking, smarter, wittier host, and that Dusty is sort of the dumber, like just kind of there for kind of some kicks and laughs. Is that how it goes on your show as well?
Danny, no. Would say yes.
I would say yes, but unfortunately no. It's kind of a Freaky Friday situation where the sharper, wittier, more handsome Fan Man Dusty is he's carrying that banner. I have let Danny's down. I will say this, you and I both have this in common. Twitter doesn't like us.
There you go. Hey, we've got that.
Anytime I get something on Twitter directed at our show account, because this is what will happen. We will get a mess of SEC fans very angry, particularly at me. And I'm like, we haven't talked SEC football today. They're mad at Cannell.
Yes, and it goes way back. I mean, I don't know how long your show has been, but I'm sure it's been since the origin. And I've actually come a long way, but I still can't resist taking a couple shots at the SEC just to get them riled up. So I'll apologize. Sometimes you just have to mute SEC. Anything in there that says SEC, just mute it. It'll make life a lot easier.
We have talked about this on the show, Danny Cannell, host of Dusty and Danny in the Mornings, and we have Danny and Dusty, and it was great the way you set it up, because we'll also get on our Twitter feed, like, Dusty, quit being a knuckle dragger, and I'm always sitting there like, what did I say this time? So I'm glad we can go full circle with all of this. Man, thank you for taking a few minutes for us today, and really, we can clear the air, and not, we didn't know if we were going to be going, like, if we're going to have animosity between the two shows, but when you have set, I don't think there's anywhere the statistics of there being another Danny and Dusty hosting a radio show nationally is minuscule. So it was a nice surprise for us to see. Thank you for taking a few minutes for us today, man. Let's talk about the big game that we got coming up this weekend here. Ohio State rolls into Oregon. We have number 2 visiting number 3, and Ohio State comes in as a 4-point favorite in this one. What have you seen from this Buckeyes team as they roll into Autzen Stadium with a schedule where it hasn't been as tough as what we were anticipating the challenges from Michigan State or Iowa to be?
They've looked the part. I mean, they've done everything they could. So I've also drawn the ire of Ohio State fans, because I've called them out for their schedule, and they can't do anything if Michigan State's having a down year. Iowa's offense is once again pretty inept, and it looks pretty easy for them. but they can do something about Marshall and whatever other directional schools they played to start the season. But to the players' point, like, all they've done is handled their business, and they've been super impressive. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like Oregon is, like, people are forgetting that Oregon still is the third-ranked team in the country, and they're also undefeated. And it's pretty funny because – they've also made some nice additions in the portal. They also brought in their quarterback, who I think is pretty special. And yet, no one's really talking about the Ducks very much. But I do think the way that Ohio State is covered, the way the roster was talked about, and we've had not one but two former Ohio State head coaches, and Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel, say it's the best roster ever assembled that have ever, you know, put on the Ohio State Scarlet and Gray. I think those type of conversations are why people are so high on Ohio State. But I will say, they have not been tested yet, and Oregon has. And I do think there's value in getting tested, even though sometimes it's worse a lesser opponent. You're like, uh-oh, what's wrong with this team? You've had a gut check, and Ohio State has not. And especially on the road, in that environment, it's going to be absolutely insane. It's going to be incredible to watch. But I still think people are sleeping on the Ducks a little bit.
Danny, you kind of hit where I wanted to go with this, that the whole idea of not really having the opportunity to get tested. Now, Boise State, you know, put the screws to Oregon early on, and Oregon, they're not going to complain about walking away with a win, but they learned a lot about themselves in that game. When you have a matchup of this magnitude and it's not between familiar opponents, is there something that just kind of – I don't want to say it can go off script, but do you kind of look at these games now that obviously that both teams are in the Big Ten, that this is something that can kind of deviate away from what everybody thinks this game is going to be?
Yes, absolutely. And I think this is where Ohio State might have an edge, because I do think when you're playing a game with Boise State and you're on offense and all of a sudden you're trailing and it's in the second half, you got to open up the whole playbook, right? You have to work every single player that you want to. You've got to unveil every concept, passing concept. Maybe you had a new formation that you wanted to show, or a motion that you might have wanted to keep up your sleeve for an opponent like Ohio State. You've already got it on film. That's the one advantage where Ohio State, because they've been up so much, and even against Iowa, I know it was 7-0 at half, and then they kind of trounced them in the second half, putting up 21 points pretty early. I still think that's what would concern me, and I'm sure it does for Dan Lanning, wondering what Chip Kelly has up his sleeve, potentially, the new offensive coordinator at Ohio State. And I'm sure that Dan Lanning's probably gone back and looked at everything that Chip Kelly ran at UCLA, what concepts worked against the Ducks in years past, what ones worked against other teams in the Pac-12 when it was still around. That's probably me the biggest concern for Oregon, is what hasn't Ohio State shown. And I think you saw that, again, an example of the Alabama-Georgia game, which I'm sure you guys watched a couple weeks ago, when Alabama just dropped 28 points on Georgia in the first quarter. It was because Alabama had not shown any empty sets. They hadn't shown any empty formations. And all of a sudden, it caught Georgia off guard. And all of a sudden, they're getting wide open guys down the field until Georgia made those adjustments. So this is the type of game where I really think coaching matters a ton. And, you know, a lot of times when you have rosters as talented or as Ohio State and as Oregon, you know, you can get away with a couple coaching mistakes. You make a boneheaded call or you try something new. It doesn't burn you. But this one is where coaching becomes a premium, and where I think it really matters the most in games like this.
And both of these coaches have gotten that label of, you know, got to win the big one, right? And which coach do you think that this game, here we are, the second weekend of October, which one can benefit the most from a win in this game? Because we've heard it about Ryan Day. We've heard it about also Dan Lanning with getting over the Washington hump.
Either fan base is probably going to be disappointed, right? And, you know, I'd say there's probably more pressure on Ryan Day, not to diminish Dan Lanning's pressure that he's under as well, but because of what I was telling you about the roster, and it's a $20 million roster, and because the expectations for Ohio State and watching Michigan win the national title and win three Big Ten championships in a row, I'd say it's slightly more pressure on Ryan Day. And I think, you know, either one of these teams, and this is sort of, you know, some people hate this, I don't. It doesn't kill your playoff hope. So no matter who loses this game, you're probably going to go back and hopefully go back to the drawing board and, you know, try to get better and make the improvements you need. And hopefully you could still make it back to the Big Ten championship game. I will say this, and I thought this was noticeable, and I actually met Dan Lanning for the first time in Indianapolis at the Big Ten media days. The difference in Oregon's confidence and just that they were excited about coming to the Big Ten, and they had the duck in the river in Indy, which was a big story. And, you know, Dan Lanning just kind of oozed confidence, right? And Ryan Day doesn't lack in confidence, but you could cut the tension with a knife. Like, he is stressed because he realizes, I mean, what's insane, Ohio State fans, like, they've had discussions about should he be on the hot seat just because of what's happened at Michigan. So that's the type of, like, pressure that I think he's dealing with that I don't think either one of these coaches should be dealing with, but it's just a reality of where they both sit right now.
Danny, when you look at the landscape of college football right now, this is kind of a overarching question, and you look at Ohio State, you look at Oregon, you look at Texas, you look at the top teams in the country, what's kind of your 30,000-foot, you know, takeaway of where those teams are? And you hear that, you know, Texas has got this great roster, and Oregon is, I think they'd argue, this is one of the best rosters they've ever had, and Ohio State's got the best roster they've ever had. Is that team speak, or is that, do you think that rosters are actually heading this way because of the changes around college football?
So here's what's really interesting is because I do think their rosters are off the charts, but I also think a lot of people thought that Bama was that case, and then Bama just gets beat by Vanderbilt, and you're like, wait a second, I thought they were a super team. Tennessee, who is a program who, you know, people thought Josh Heupel at Tennessee had maybe one of the best rosters they've had in years, they go lose to Arkansas. I think while these rosters are uber talented, and they've boosted them and they've fixed positions because of the transfer portal, and they can get a quarterback who's ready made like Dylan Gabriel, I think there's a lot more parity, and I've heard a bunch of coaches talk about this. Yes, the top-tier talent is going to the usual suspects, right? The Oregons, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Georgias. But it's harder to get the depth that they've had in years past. And I actually did take a shot at the SEC last weekend when I noticed all this parity, because the SEC has dominated college football's recruiting rankings and for the past 20, 25 years. And why was it? Was because they were, you know, everybody knows about the bag men and stuff that was going on and paying players under the table. It's no secret. And now that other teams are given a chance, a school like Vanderbilt, who I would say did things the right way, they're able to go out and pay a player like Diego Pavia, the quarterback from New Mexico State, bring him in there, and all of a sudden it gives them a chance. And there's also guys that are maybe were at Bama or at Oregon or at Georgia, and they were 4 or 5 stars, and maybe they weren't playing. And whereas before, they wouldn't be able to transfer unless they sat out a year. They wouldn't be able to make any money, and they've got their secure deal at one of those prime schools. Now they can get lured away to a school like Arkansas or to a school like Vanderbilt or to a school in the Big Ten that's kind of flying under the radar. So I think it's actually spreading out some of the talent. And the turnover on rosters, I think, is another addition to why we're seeing parity. I mean, football is the ultimate team sport. And there's value in continuity and teamwork, especially on the offensive line. And, you know, quarterback, receiver, chemistry, timing, rhythm. And I think you guys have seen that firsthand. That's like at Oregon, you guys have had injuries on the offensive line. You've had Dylan Gabriel come in learning a new system. And I think you've seen him progress and they've gotten better, but it didn't look great right away. And I think that's because they haven't been together for 2 or 3 years like some players at some schools. So it's a combination of everything, but I think the days of teams running the table and going from start to finish, you know, undefeated, I think those are gone. I think we'll see multiple 2 or 3 loss teams potentially in the playoff. And even Texas, as good as they are, I don't think they'll run the table. And same thing with Ohio State or the winner of this game. If it's Ohio State or Oregon, I think there's probably a slip-up in there. It's just there's a lot of parity, and the schedules are tougher than they've ever been with the super conferences. I think parity's here to stay.
Yeah, that's a great point in that, and it also makes kind of what Ohio State did with that, you know, $20 million roster that much more impressive too, is getting guys to come back for one more run at it, go and make another charge at it, and still backfill it with a really talented recruiting class as well, both out of high school and the transfer portal. When you get guys like Caleb Downs on the defensive side out of the portal, and then you get a receiver like Jeremiah Smith, who's a true freshman. Everybody's talking about Ryan Williams down at Bama, Dude, Jeremiah Smith is exceptional and just as good. As you take a look at this receiving corps from Ohio State, are we going to be looking back on this in like 4 or 5 years and talking about it like we did that LSU receiving room that had, you know, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase in it? Because you got Emeka Ogbuka, Carnell Tate, who's going to be back this week, it looks like, and then Jeremiah Smith, the true freshman.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Ohio State's already been known recently. The run of wide receivers that they've had coming out of there has been remarkable. Jackson Smith and Jigma. Then last year, of course, had a top five pick and Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, it's remarkable, the receiving corps that they've had. And I think there's another phenomenon that's taken place with, you mentioned Ryan Williams, the true freshman at Bama, and Jeremiah Smith, the true freshman at Ohio State. Players now are more ready because of the 7-on-7 circuit, because of the systems they're running in high school are very similar to what they're doing in college, and because of the confidence. Like, they've seen other freshmen before them go and have success. So they're coming in with all-time confidence and all-time skill sets, and it's the perfect combination for these two, you know, freshmen, true freshman receivers to go toe-to-toe, and it's just different. I played with a guy named Peter Wark, who might be one of the most electric college football players of all time when I was at Florida State. When he was a freshman, he redshirted. He was scared, like he was green. I would tell him this to his face. He was like in over his head. He was still like walking around, looking around, like, what do I do? And he was kind of skinny and he wasn't built up. And then, of course, after a year, a redshirt year, his career takes off. Now you're getting players who come in ready-made, ready to go. They get on campus in January. They learn the system, go through a spring. And when it's ready to go, they're ready to take off. But yes, that to me is probably the biggest concern I'd have for Oregon. And we haven't even touched on the backfield with Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins and Will Howard as a runner. That to me is where I'm really looking at this matchup and, you know, wondering how you're supposed to slow that offense down. And I will say, though, Will Howard, who was at Kansas State, watched him a lot there. He got a little bit of the turnover bug there. This is his first big game as the quarterback where it's probably going to be a tight game, right? I mean, unless it's a perfect, you know, storm and they come out and hit a couple big touchdowns early, which I don't think will happen. But, like, how does he respond? If they come out and it's, you know, 14-10 at halftime and they're down, how does he respond in that situation? We don't know because they've been able to sail through the schedule. So there's so many intriguing matchups and so many storylines in this game. It's clear reason why it's the game everybody wants to watch this weekend.
Danny, I want to hit you on a national one. I think it's an interesting line, and obviously you've been a part of the game for a long time now, and the Heisman Trophy has just been a quarterback award essentially for God knows how long, the quarterback on the best team or the guy who makes the most plays, and now, right now you've got Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter 1 and 2 in Heisman odds. Do you think that there's a chance that we might actually get away from the quarterback award? Could this upset the cycle and turn this into a situation where the best player in the country ends up winning this award again?
Yes, I do. I think it's a couple different reasons. One, I think nationally, and we saw this with Devontae Smith when he won at Alabama as a wide receiver, the conversation started pretty early because I think people are tired of seeing quarterbacks win the award, right? Unless you're really special, unless you've put up insane numbers and you've helped elevate your program to a national championship and you've just had a spectacular season. I think people are longing, and I would say Heisman voters. I'm a Heisman voter. There's over 800 of them. There's too many of them. But I think even Heisman voters are looking for somebody else to step up. And for whatever reason, we haven't had a two-way player in the last 50 years who's played as many snaps as Travis Hunter is playing. We've seen running backs challenge. So that's where I'm a little bit nervous about Ashton Jeanty, if this is sustainable, because we've had Melvin Gordon go up there and put up unbelievable numbers. We've had backs before. I think he has to challenge. I think a couple things happen for Ashton Jeanty to win the award. I think he's probably going to go to New York if he just keeps having this type of year. Playing at the Group of Five level hurts him. I mean, it's just a reality. Not a lot of people see his games on national television. The thing he has to do, I think, is challenge some of Barry Sanders' records, his single-season records. It's 2,628 yards in the regular season, and it's 33 touchdowns, which he's on pace to challenge them. So if he breaks those, which have stood for 40 years, then I think all of a sudden it could become a reality. The other thing he has to do is they have to win out, because if they lose, he'll probably be an afterthought. So I think, but right now, like, they should be favored every game from here on out. And the game against Oregon, which you guys are well aware of, the 192 and 3 touchdowns, even though they lost, that might be his best case for the Heisman Trophy is look what he did against that Oregon defense.
Danny Cannell, you can catch him, Dusty and Danny in the mornings, the Cover 3 pod, weekdays at 11 a.m. in CBS Sports HQ. Man, we really appreciate the time that you gave us today. We hope to do it again, and I know you're a Florida guy through and through, a Florida State guy, and live in the state. Hope you and yours are all safe with Hurricane Milton coming in and bearing down on Florida, man.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, we're in South Florida on the East Coast, so I think we dodged most of it. But yeah, definitely prayers for those people on the West Coast of Florida for sure. And you know, I'm insanely jealous of your guys' show, right? Because you guys got it right. You went with Danny first. I got screwed over.
Danny, how this worked is we literally sat down when we were talking about naming the show. What rolls out easier? I didn't push for it. I didn't push
for
it.
I'm going to bring that to Dusty. I'm going to bring that to my co-host, Dusty, and tell him we need to change.
Love it, man. Thank you for the time. Appreciate you.
Awesome. We'll have to do it again. See
you guys.
Thanks,
Danny.
All right, there he is, Danny Cannell. And again, Danny brought to you by Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 7 lines. Good conversation, a lot of Oregon and Ohio State with Danny Cannell. And I think he is bracing for this game. Like all of us are, a lot of unknown heading into this game because of the schedules that both teams have had in front of them and the fact that you have a lot of good on good in this game between Ohio State and the Oregon Ducks. We'll have a story time with Uncle Jerry coming up in about 5 minutes from now, but we got to pay the bills, come back, and get some of your thoughts on the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Great chat with Danny Cannell of CBS Sports on this Oregon-Ohio State game. Went long with him. And we'll have Jerry Allen coming on here in a few minutes from now. But some of the feedback on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/1080am, the fan. Joel, our P1 resident Washington Hawk, says, Will Howard's first big game. And Danny Cannell did say that. He said, you know, this is his first game. He said as an Ohio State Buckeye, though, and I think that's a big qualifier there. But Joel says his first big game, guy played in the Big 12 championship game. Dylan Gabriel never played in a Big 12 championship game. Will Howard won that game in overtime, by the way. Will Howard even went on head-to-head with Dylan Gabriel last season when he was at Oklahoma and won that game, too. I think what he was talking about is with this Ohio State team in a game truly of this magnitude, a number two versus number three, I think that's where he's going, where Danny Cannell was going with that. And then the fact that what does it look like when you are facing the potential to face adversity with this Ohio State team was kind of the framing of that. If Oregon can force those opportunities, because you think about it, Will Howard has only attempted 25 passes this year on third down. They don't get to third down a lot.
No.
And he's not playing in the game late when they're up. They go, yank, we're going to be out when we're up 52-0 over the Akrons of the world. I think that is where Cannell was going with that, because we will see the good and the bad of both of these quarterbacks. I mean, we've talked about this, the uncharacteristics of interceptions Dylan Gabriel's thrown, but they've become in the last two games and three interceptions inside the 5-yard line. You know, that is going to be the focus of a lot of Oregon fans. When you get in that low red area, how does he perform there?
It's going to be interesting just because we've kind of hit this point of the tests, the opportunities. And even though Oregon wasn't, it's not like they had like this juggernaut schedule to start, but they were up against it. And so Gabriel's kind of, you know, his feet were put to the fire sooner rather than later. And Danny hinted at some, you know, maybe the Ducks did show some things that they didn't want to. They pulled out some things because you get to the point where in that Boise State game, you're just like, we just got to win. And I think you find some of your pet plays. I think you find some of your opportunities. I think you find some things that you're comfortable. I mean, we talked about even with Dylan Gabriel's interceptions last week and over the last couple weeks, the idea of trying things. I don't think Ohio State has really tried much. I think they've kept it pretty damn vanilla. And maybe not knowing the extent of what Jeremiah Smith can do, maybe not knowing, you know, just how much you can lean on your running backs and which one you want to lean on in certain situations. I think they have an idea, certainly. But I don't the idea that you're going to have to discover that truly in the fire as opposed to, you know, jumping all the way in as opposed to, like, you know, kind of dancing in and out of the flames a little bit. I think there is a difference in that.
Yeah, I think to that point of Oregon showing some things, you know, there's been a lot of talk amongst the Oregon fan base. We've seen it on the Vancouver Ford text line. We've seen it on social media. Dylan Gabriel locking onto Tez Johnson. And, you know, in these games, he's feeding Tez quite a bit, targeting him quite a bit. I look at when that conversation of Oregon maybe has had to show some things that they would rather keep closer to the vest. The two biggest games that Evan Stewart and Trayshawn Holden have had this year were the Boise State game. Evan Stewart, 5 catches, 112 yards and a touchdown. Trayshawn Holden, 4 catches, 78 yards and a touchdown. Season highs for both of those guys in that game against Boise State. And that is where, all right, if Tez is my number one read is getting taken away, where am I going to go next? It's 1, 2, 3 in your progression, and Dylan Gabriel was getting through those. That's where I have a little bit more of that confidence and that optimism that Dylan Gabriel isn't just going to lock onto one guy in this game, because when the rubber was meeting the road, they were in a tight game. Those guys had the biggest games of their season against Boise State in a tight game late. And look, the both of those touchdowns that those guys had, those are game breakers. Those are game changers. You look at the Evan Stewart touchdown, and we talked about this at the beginning of the week with, you know, his touchdown in the end zone. That was one where when they were in the red zone, he ran that big bender out. It was after the Tez Johnson interception, right? The pass that Dylan Gabriel said, maybe my appetite gets too big, and they made the adjustment. They went to the deep bender to Evan Stewart, and they dotted him up on the sideline. There have been adjustments and changes from what is their bread and butter, which is that little pivot play down on the goal line. So it was a great talk with Danny Cannell. If you missed it, go check it out. Rust will have it up shortly on the Audio Vault on the Odyssey app or at 1080thefan.com. Coming up next, Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks. He joins us in studio here at Autzen Stadium. This is Danny and Dusty. Here's Rust with SportsCenter.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
It is not the worst day on the web. It's our best day on the internet right now. Because we need an open for this one. Everybody on YouTube and Twitch can see Jerry Allen joining us in the booth. Story time with Uncle Jerry.
Story time with... Well, at least you didn't say Grandpa Jerry. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
Your uncle.
Okay. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good.
How are you?
You know, I'm okay. We're trying to get a camp spot at the coast this weekend, and everything's full. I don't know what to do.
I have a feeling I know where you're going to be camping out. And I think there's a cot down there right in front of us in this press box. Kind of a big game coming up this weekend.
I've been asked somebody, is this the biggest game, you know, since you've been in Oregon? And it, for different reasons. I mean, we didn't know how big the Washington game was going to be in 95, the Kenny Wheaton pick. We didn't know, was it 94, the 95 Rose Bowl. There have been games throughout my career when they were big. At the time, they were the biggest.
Yeah.
Okay, right now, this is by far the biggest.
I think, like, heading the evolution of the Oregon program, it was big when Oklahoma came here.
Oh, certainly.
It was big when Michigan came here. But now, like, the evolution of the program, it's evolved to the point where it's a big game, not because of the opponent that's coming in, but the magnitude nationally on the scale of what the game means for playoffs and at the top of the top 25 rankings.
Yeah, the two highest ranked teams ever to meet here at Autzen Stadium speaks for itself. Two of the best teams, top three teams in the nation right now, and that's pretty special. You gotta you know, relax a little bit and take it in and enjoy it. We'll talk with Coach tonight on the show, and I may ask him, "You gonna enjoy this weekend?" I won't ask him that.
I don't think he's. I think he's enjoying the preparation.
Yeah, I think he enjoys the moment.
Yeah.
You know, you have to at some point in your career when you have a team like this, you got to appreciate where you are, how you've gotten here, and take a little bit of it in. He'll enjoy it a lot more after the game.
Yep.
Jerry, we had Danny Cannell on earlier, and he mentioned that he had talked to Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel, and both stated that this Ohio State team is on paper the best roster that program has ever had. When you look at this Oregon team, do you look at this and on paper go, this is the best roster Oregon has had, and that's kind of the matchup that we're looking at?
You know, I've always not disagreed, but always questioned when older coaches, even prognosticators and media people in the current time will say, this is the best ever. This is the best compared to this. I don't think you can compare that. I'm not sure that Oregon had the best talent on the field in 2021 when they went back and beat Ohio State in the Shoe. I think Ohio State had bigger talent. Obviously, their wide receivers were all-time, the quarterback. They had great talent. I think Oregon's talent is equal to what it has been in other years, different situations. I mean, you know, you get to two national championship football games, you got to have pretty good talent. And so I think Oregon had really good talent. I don't know if this is the best Ohio State. You know, I think it's they're so up here on a level all the time that they may dip up and have a few more guys on the line, or maybe the running backs. This year the wide receivers are good, but not what they were in 21. Quarterbacks. So it's hard to equate from this year to last year to 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
I think when I look at this Oregon team, the biggest difference this year as opposed to years past with Oregon in games of this magnitude is, I remember the first Rose Bowl with Chip when they played Ohio State, and he was saying things like, I wish I had guys like these. You know, the big maulers in the trenches. That's got to be the biggest change that we've seen kind of with Oregon's program is it used to be built on the skill positions. It used to be built with guys that were gritty or developmental that would go on to have long NFL careers, like a Max Unger up front. But now it is changed to where they do have that size up front.
Yeah, I think if anything, Oregon has probably elevated themselves to a level of Ohio State and what they've been.
Yeah.
I mean, Mario Cristobal didn't start that, but he certainly beefed up the size and the strength of the offensive lines and defensive lines. And then, of course, Coach Stan Lanning and his staff have just added to that and expanded on it. So they're getting guys up front who are 4- and 5-star guys, where they used to get a few of those on the outside and as far as receivers and quarterbacks.
This game feels like it's either going to come down to one team firmly grasping the other and taking control right out of the gate, or it's going to be one of those games like we've seen against Washington the last couple of years where it's a big play here, a big play there, and that's going to be the fundamental deciding factor. When you look at these two teams, you've had these opportunities over the last couple of weeks to see guys kind of step to the forefront for Oregon, particularly last week, Jordan James getting the running game going. When you look at this, who is the playmaker that you're looking at that has the biggest chance or the biggest opportunity to kind of break this game open?
Well, maybe odd to say this, but I think it's Dylan Gabriel, because Ohio State's defense is as good as Oregon has seen all year. So Oregon's offensive line is going to have their work cut out for them, but Dylan Gabriel's going to have to be ready and aware to get rid of that ball in a hurry or do some scrambling, because they're going to be in on him. 17 sacks this season. Oregon's had 16 sacks as a defense, but I think Dylan Gabriel's really got to be aware of where that check down guy is, the decision-making process that he makes with guys in his face, because Ohio State's going to bring it.
Jerry Allen is with us as we are down at Autzen Stadium. Yeah, I don't care if you can or not. You're going to stick around for another segment.
Sure. Man. you keep paying me.
Yeah, with food. I want to get some of your thoughts on the magnitude, the environment of what Autzen Stadium will be on Saturday, what Eugene is, because you were here for the first College Game Day visit. This is now the 31st visit from College Game Day.
It's amazing.
And it,
good God, really?
Yeah, that's what the game. Yeah, what the game notes said.
I think we've had like 12 of them here, and we've been involved in 31 of them combined, all the other schools.
But it means a whole lot when game day is here and you're in that prime time window. And we'll go story time with Uncle Jerry, who's here, about what those games have been like before, what you've seen before in Autzen, and the environment and kind of how everybody feeds off it. Danny and Dusty, Jerry Allen sticks with us next on 1080 The Fan. Well, when I hear this song, I think of, you know, somebody regal or the British Bulldog on this Wrestling Wednesday. We do have somebody regal with us. Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks.
Prince Jerry.
Well, I think Lord Jerry, maybe.
Lord Jerry.
Lord Jerry. There we go. Lord good. Jerry
you
Allen.
You are my subject. Yeah, I get you.
This game has got all the makings of a big-time feeling, right? It's not just number two versus number three. It's a Big Ten game against Ohio State, which still feels new, but getting more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But College Game Day, the NBC Big Ten Saturday night broadcast, it has that gravity around it where it brings out the best of the Autzen faithful. When you have gone through these big games in the past, when do you really start feeling the energy from the crowd and in the community being down here?
You know, it's normally Wednesday, Thursday of a week. You know, people talk about it a little bit on Monday and Tuesday, and they're starting to get juiced up a little bit. I'll be honest with you. Monday, even Sunday, I started hearing from people getting excited about it. Then we heard game day is going to be here. The level raised up a little bit more. I don't normally get too anxious, nervous until we get to Friday. I felt this angst starting on Monday. I'm just anxious for this game. I'm not worried about this game. What I don't want to happen, and it'll happen to one of these teams, and that's what the media will do to the team that loses afterwards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because two great teams, both can't win, somebody's going to lose, and I just hope that the football world, the media will say, oh, we're at two great teams, somebody had to lose, still two great teams, and not jump on the bandwagon of one and let the other one fall.
Jerry, I think it's only happened one time in college football, and that was USC Texas. I don't think it's I think everybody's going to sit there and they're going to say their thing and have their beef one way or the other. I think USC Texas in the title game is the only one everybody walked away and went, that was great. There were no losers, even though it was a loser.
I agree. I said the same thing. Yeah. And this one's going to be like that, too.
I think so.
Yeah, Oregon's number three and Ohio State's number two for a reason. They didn't just put either one of the teams up there to make this a great game. They've earned that respect. They've earned the opportunity to be on this setting.
What does it mean, though, when you do have a team and a fan base like Ohio State coming into Autzen, and you're going to have a record crowd, and even if the crowd isn't as Oregon dominant as it normally is, because Ohio State, like Michigan, probably the two best traveling fan bases in the country because of just how many of them there are.
Sure.
But the noise is going to be a factor one way or the other. It, just kind of the atmosphere, the environment, everything is going to come with this. Can you think of any time where there was so much pomp and circumstance, whether it was a hatred in a Civil War game, a game against the Huskies? Has there ever been a time where you felt like, oh, this is going to be, it's going to set a new tone of insane at Autzen?
Well, I think there are probably a number of what we used to call the Civil War games that had that, particularly when a bowl game or the conference championship was riding on it. Then it carried a little extra. I think when Oklahoma came in here, was Adrian Peterson? I mean, yeah, you knew that was a great football team. And to be able to, you know, play on that level with them, and not only play on that level but win that game, the fans were juiced. I can remember beating UCLA, I think it was in 1989 here. Bill Musgrave hit Vince Ferry for a touchdown in the right corner of the end zone on the west end zone. It was such a huge emotional game that they they tore the goalpost down, and they carried them out of the stadium and took them over to campus and dumped them in the mill race. So, yeah, we've had those games and those moments. But as you go through your career and as the seasons go on, new ones will pile on top of those. And right now, this is the biggest that I've probably been involved in.
How about that, Jerry, with a little bit of a history lesson there? Vanderbilt went and dumped their goalposts in the Cumberland River.
I thought about that.
That's about Oregon 35 years ahead of Vanderbilt dumping the goalposts in the mill race. I mean,
it's a shorter trip, too.
Yeah, well, did they know they didn't have to go even that far? They could just—they could have gone to the Willamette, right there.
You know, funny story. Walt Barger, a tremendous Oregon booster and donor for years, and is no longer with us, I believe. And he had a rental car parked out in the parking lot. Was in the game. When the students took the goalpost out and through the parking lot, they put one of the uprights through his front window.
Oh, no.
And he was so proud of that.
Driving to the rental car place with a big old hole right through the windshield.
You're not going to believe what happened.
Yeah.
Like the explanation to the rental car company.
Yeah,
was like,
exactly.
Because this is before cell phones. Is he taking Polaroids of the goalposts the parking lot?
Yeah. What a moment. Moment.
Yeah, we could have done something similar back in the old Willamette days with Chuck Pinkerton trying to dump the uprights in the old mill run that runs through Willamette, except that little creek is only basically wide enough to jump over.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to put the goalposts in there, Rust. What games have stuck out to you? I mean, we have... I was going back and I was looking at the magnitude of this. This is 2-3. This is the first top five matchup we've had in Autzen Stadium. We had... 2007 was pretty close, where you had Cal in Oregon, and that was 5-7 or 9, I believe.
Yeah, top 10 teams.
2009 or 10, maybe both, you had Stanford coming in. These games in Autzen, which ones kind of stick out to you as the ones that have the gravity of anywhere close to this one?
Well, the Stanford game, certainly, because Stanford stole so many great moments from us. I mean, there was some games that we played against Stanford. I think you mentioned that one. I want to go back even further. Oregon played Illinois here, would have been back in the early 90s on a night game, and beat Illinois, and Jaya Figueres sacked quarterback in the end zone, recovered the fumble for the touchdown, and beat Illinois. And back then, that was like, holy cow, we've arrived. You know, and we were still arriving. We didn't know yet, but we thought he arrived. And in this might have been 89, maybe 90, Ty Detmer and BYU came in here.
Oh, yeah.
All right, it was a day game. They were ranked, I believe, number 2 in the nation. They might have been number 1, but I believe number 2. And Bill Musgrave in Oregon, you know, not in the top 25, and it shocked him. I think it was Romeo Bandison that belly bumped him in the end zone for the safety. It's just one of the highlights. And back then, I mean, those were the greatest moments we had, when you have a top-ranked team coming in and you beat them or you play with them here. So those are some of the games I remember.
Yeah. The Halloween USC game, too.
Oh, I had to bring that one up, huh?
That was a great game. It was Martin Maldonado, right?
ESPN game. Game day was here. Yeah, they were out in the parking lot, which is now part of the HDC. And that was the penalty and the extra point that at the end of the game. Gosh, I can't remember that they took the extra point away because the kid took his helmet off. Was that the game? It was the game.
I think so. Down on the far end zone there.
Yeah, it went to overtime, but Oregon won that game. Yeah. Wow. There's too many. I mean, it's people say, can you rank them? No. Because right. At the time, they were the greatest game that you ever been a part of.
All right, well, how about this one? You do the broadcast for people that don't know. The windows are open for Jerry and Jorgie. And Jorgie wears shorts, by the way.
Oh, right.
It doesn't matter how cold it is.
Shout out my shorts wearing king.
Yeah. Not pretty.
He's got a lot of Eastern Oregon. It's bitterly cold out there. It's always shorts weather. But you have the windows open.
Yeah.
What is the loudest you have ever heard Autzen Stadium?
Wow. Again, you know, I try to put that. I'm going to say the loudest I've heard Autzen Stadium, because the memory of the moment was the Kenny Wheaton pick.
Yeah.
It's been probably that loud or close to the loud, maybe even louder. But the moment makes you think of that time. And I lost control, was screaming and yelling. It was louder because Jorgie and I were fans. We were part of the fan base then. We were not broadcasters. but that was, I mean, Yeah, there have been so many moments to try to single one out. I think when the fans do their job and this place is full and they get a fever pitch, they're all up there. When we started doing Shout,
yeah,
that's added to it every week.
Every single week. Man, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's so fun to talk about it, but then I start thinking about and remembering, like I said, what number one, number two, what's the best, what's this? For me, they just all are a part of great memories.
Yeah.
I can't separate them.
Well, I need you to. I need you to start ranking them.
Well, I just happen to have a list here that I put together.
I need your definitive list. Well, you can make a book about that, you know? I mean,
yes, save for
my
book.
For my reading level, pictures please be included. Mm-hmm. But you could make a book about that.
Pop outs.
Yeah. Now we're really getting to my reading level.
Oh my gosh.
But that would be fascinating because there have been so many great memories and kind of the ascension of the Oregon football program where as we started this thing out, it isn't just a big name coming into Autzen Stadium, it's a big game coming to Autzen Stadium with one of those names. And it's been quite the transition of the program, and it's going to be a little weird having Chip Kelly calling plays on the other side in one of these games too. You kind of full circle with that first Rose Bowl going up against Ohio State and now him calling plays for Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, and previously a part of the Pac-12 and played against them then. There's a lot of little side stories to this game. That's one of the big ones. And we haven't seen everything that Ohio State's, you know, going to do, can do. We haven't seen everything that Oregon can do or will do. So it's going to be a chess match, two great teams, a lot of great athletes, two great coaching staffs, but Oregon has an advantage, and that's, you've heard it called the 12th man in the past. When this place gets cranked up, there's nowhere louder. I know they can say the swamp or they can say the horseshoe, but we had a Husky talking about Autzen Stadium this week on Sirius XM, Brock Heward.
Yeah.
And he spent a good couple, 3 minutes extolling the virtues of Autzen, the crowd, the memories, the history, the I'm coming home, the shout, everything about it. He told somebody, you know, you got to put that in your bucket list. It's one of the best places to see a college football game in America. And that's a Husky saying that about Autzen Stadium. I was impressed.
Jerry, as somebody who's not a dyed-in-the-wool duck, I was there for USC Oregon last year, and I've been to a couple other games at Autzen. It is a truly unique environment. It is absolutely incredible. You know, early in that game, the roars that I was two rows up off the field, and it was deafening. It was like an aircraft taking off. It was. It truly is. And that anybody who knows me knows that I don't like the Ducks, so it's not easy for me to say this. It is one of the most impressive environments in all of college football, hands down.
Thank you. It's earned respect. And how it gets so loud in here, sound engineers maybe could figure it out, but it's amazing that 60,000 people can be as loud to me as 100,000 mm-hmm. people. It's just remarkable.
I mean, and it starts with the Harley, and it goes all the way through. Yeah. I mean, and they kind of feed off of that. I was talking with Kenny Farr, the equipment manager, today, and we were talking about those games when you get down on the field. There's loud where you can kind of – noise is bouncing around everywhere. But when it gets to that fever pitch, your teeth start to rattle.
You feel it.
You feel it, and you just get goosebumps all over. It is so loud, and it honestly is. Your teeth just start shaking. And I hope we get a lot of that. Like Coach Lanning said after the game on Friday night, he said, come, be loud, stay for 4 hours, yell the whole time.
Pre-snap penalties could be really big in this if Ohio State has – any issue at all with the noise level in the Autzen crowd, they can make a difference.
Yep. All right, Jerry, thanks for the time, man.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. Let's do it again soon. I'm down here every Wednesday. Well, next week I'll be here Tuesday. So
if I come up Wednesday, I won't find you?
Yeah, I won't be here. I won't be here, but I'll be here Tuesday.
Okay, I'll see you Tuesday.
All right. All right. I'll see you Saturday, too.
Hey.
Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks. Hour number three coming up next. Wow, it's already started hour number three. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com